God of all life, we come before you with green branches, symbols of life and youth, and of Jesus, who called himself the greenwood. Bless us and bless these branches. Let these green fronds acclaim Christ as our Lord, who brings us life's fullness, even though we have to go with him the hard road of suffering and death toward the final victory. We ask this through Christ Jesus, who lives with you in the Holy Spirit, God forever and ever.
From the book of the prophet Isaiah. The servant of the Lord said, "The Lord God has given me the tongue of a teacher, that I may know how to sustain the weary with a word. Morning by morning he wakens my ear to listen as those who are taught. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious, I did not turn backward. I gave my back to those who struck me, and my cheeks to those who pulled out the beard. I did not hide my face from insult and spitting. The Lord God helps me, therefore I have not been disgraced. Therefore I have set my face like flint, and I know that I shall not be put to shame." The word of the Lord.
My God, why have you abandoned me? My God, why have you abandoned me? All who see me deride me. They curl their lips, they toss their heads. He trusted in the Lord, let him save him. Let him release him if this is his friend. My God, why have you abandoned me? Many dogs have surrounded me. A band of the wicked beset me. They tear holes in my hands and my feet. I can count every one of my bones. My God, why? divide my clothing among them. They cast lots for my robe. O Lord, do not leave me alone. My strength, make haste to help me. My God, why have you abandoned me? I will tell of your name to my brethren, and praise you where they are assembled. You who fear the Lord, give him praise. All sons of Jacob, give him glory. My God, why have you abandoned me?
A reading from the letter of Paul to the Philippians. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness, and, being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Therefore, God highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bend in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The word of the Lord.
Now the festival of unleavened bread, which is called Passover, was near. The chief priests and the scribes were looking for a way to put Jesus to death, for they were afraid of the people. Satan entered into Judas, called Iscariot, who was one of the 12. He went away and conferred with the chief priests and with the officers of the temple police about how he might betray him to them. They were greatly pleased and agreed to give him money. So he consented and began to look for an opportunity to betray him to them when no crowd was present.
Then came the day of unleavened bread on which the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed. So Jesus sent Peter and John, saying, "Go and prepare the Passover meal for us that we may eat it. They asked him, Where do you want us to make preparation for it? Listen, he said to them, When you have entered the city, a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him into the house he enters, and say to the owner of the house, The teacher asks you, Where is the guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples? He will show you a large room upstairs already furnished. Make preparation for us there. So they went and found everything as he had told them, and they prepared the Passover meal.
When the hour came, he took his place at the table with the apostles. He said to them, I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. Then he took a cup, and after giving thanks, he said, Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I tell you that from now on, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. Then he took a loaf of bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And he did the same with the cup after supper, saying, This cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. But see, the one who betrays me is with me. His hand is on the table. The Son of Man is going as it has been determined, but woe to that one by whom he is betrayed. They began to ask one another which one of them it could be who would do this.
A dispute also arose among them as to which one of them was to be regarded as the greatest. But he said to them, The kings of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those in authority over them are called benefactors. But not so with you. Rather, the greatest among you must become like the youngest, and the leader like one who serves. For who is greater, the one who is at the table or the one who serves? Is it not the one at the table? But I am among you as one who serves. You are those who have stood by me in my trials, and I confer on you, just as my Father has conferred on me, a kingdom, so that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and you will sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Simon, Simon, listen. Satan has demanded to sift all of you like wheat, but I have prayed for you that your own faith may not fail, and you, once you have turned back, strengthen your brothers. And he said to him, Lord, I am ready to go with you to prison and to death. Jesus said, I tell you, Peter, the cock will not crow this day until you have denied me three times. He said to them, When I send you out with a purse, a bag, or sandals, did you lack anything? They said, No, not a thing. He said to them, But now, the one who has the purse must take it, and likewise a bag. And the one who has no sword must sell his cloak and buy one. For I tell you, this scripture must be fulfilled in me, and he has counted among the lawless, and indeed what is written about me is being fulfilled. They said, Lord, look, here are two swords. He replied, It is enough.
He came out And he went, as was his custom, to the Mount of Olives, and the disciples followed him. And when he reached the place, he said to them, "Pray that you may not come into the time of trial." Then he withdrew from them about a stone's throw, knelt down, and prayed. "Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done." Then an angel from heaven appeared to him and gave him strength. In his anguish he prayed more earnestly. His sweat became like great drops of blood falling to the ground. He got up from prayer. He came to the disciples and found them sleeping because of grief. He said to them, "Why are you sleeping? Get up and pray that you may not come into the time of trial." Now while he was still speaking, a crowd came, and the one called Judas, one of the 12, was leading them. He approached Jesus to kiss him. Jesus said to him, "Judas, is it with a kiss that you are betraying the Son of Man?" When those who were around saw what was happening, they asked, "Lord, should we strike with the sword?" Then one of them struck the slave of the high priest and cut off his right ear. Jesus said, "No more of this." He touched his ear and healed him. Then Jesus said to the chief priests, the officers of the temple police, and the elders who had come for him, "Have you come out with swords and clubs as if I were a bandit? When I was with you day after day in the temple, you did not lay a hand on me. But this is now your hour and the power of darkness."
Then they seized him and led him away, bringing him into the high priest's house. But Peter was following at a distance. When they had kindled a fire in the middle of the country yard and sat down together, Peter sat among them. Then a servant girl, seeing him in the firelight, stared at him and said, "This man was also with him." But he denied it, saying, "Women, I do not know him." A little later, someone else on seeing him said, "You also are one of them." But Peter said, "Man, I am not." Then about an hour later, yet another kept insisting, "Surely this man also was with him, for he is a Galilean." But Peter said, "Man, I do not know what you are talking about." At that moment, while he was still speaking, the cock crowed. The Lord turned and looked at Peter. Then Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said to him, "Before the cock crows today, you will deny me three times." And he went out and wept bitterly. Jesus began to mock him and beat him. They also blindfolded him and kept asking him, prophesy. Who is it that struck you?" They kept heaping many other insults on him.
When day came, the assembly of the elders of the people, both chief priests and scribes, gathered together. They brought him to their council. They said, "If you are the Messiah, tell us." He replied, "If I tell you, you will not believe. And if I question you, you will not answer. But from now on, the Son of Man will be seated at the right hand of the power of God." All of them asked, "Are you then the Son of God?" He said to them, "You say that I am." They all said, "What further testimony do we need? We have heard it ourselves from his own lips." And then the assembly rose as a body and brought Jesus before Pilate. They began to accuse him, saying, "We found this man perverting our nation, forbidding us to pay taxes to the emperor, and saying that he himself is the Messiah, a king." Pilate asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" He answered, "You say so." Then Pilate said to the chief priests and the crowds, "I find no basis for an accusation against this man." But they were insistent, and they said, "He stirs up the people by teaching throughout all Judea, from Galilee where he began, even to this very place."
When Pilate heard this, he asked whether the man was a Galilean. And when he learned that he was under Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him off to Herod, who was himself in Jerusalem at the time. When Herod saw Jesus, he was very glad, for he had been wanting to see him for a long time, because he had heard about him and was hoping to see him perform some sign. He questioned him at some length, but Jesus gave him no answer. The chief priests and the scribes stood by, vehemently accusing him. Even Herod, with his soldiers, treated him with contempt and mocked him. Then he put on an elegant robe on him and sent him back to Pilate. That same day, Herod and Pilate became friends with each other. Before this, they had been enemies. Pilate then called together the chief priests, the leaders, and the people, and said to them, "You brought me this man as one who was perverting the people, and here I have examined him in your presence and have not found this man guilty of any of your charges against him. Neither has Herod, for he sent him back to us. Indeed, he has done nothing to deserve death. I will therefore have him flogged and release him." Then they all shouted out together, "Away with this fellow! Release Barabbas for us." This was a man who had been put in prison for an insurrection that had taken place in the city and also for murder. Pilate, wanting to release Jesus, addressed them again, but they kept shouting, "Crucify! Crucify him!" A third time he said to them, "Why? What evil has he done? I have found him in no ground for the sentence of death. I will therefore have him flogged and then release him." But they kept urgently demanding with loud shouts that he should be crucified, and their voices prevailed. So Pilate gave up his verdict that their demand should be granted. He released the man they asked for, the one who had been put in prison for an insurrection and murder. And he handed Jesus over as they wished.
As they led him away, they seized a man, Simon of Cyrene. He was coming from the country, and they laid the cross on him, and they made him carry it behind Jesus. A great number of people followed him, and among them were women who were beating their breasts and wailing for him. Jesus turned to them and said, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me. Weep for yourselves and for your children. For the days are surely coming when they will say, 'Blessed are the barren, and the wombs that never bore, and the breasts that never nursed.' Then they will begin to say to the mountains, 'Fall on us,' and to the hills, 'Cover us.' For if they do this when the wood is green, what will happen when the wood is dry?" Two others also, who were criminals, were led away to be put to death with him. When they came to the place that is called the Skull, they crucified Jesus there with the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. Then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they cast lots to divide his clothing. And the people stood by, watching. But the leader scoffed at him and said, "He saved others. Let him save himself if he is the Messiah of God, the chosen one." The soldiers also mocked him. Coming up and offering him sour wine, they said, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." Now there was an inscription over his head: "This is the King of the Jews." One of the criminals who were hanged there kept deriding him, "Are you not the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other rebuked him, "Do you not fear God? You are under the same sentence of condemnation. We have been condemned justly. We are getting what we deserve for our deeds. This man has done nothing wrong." Then he said to Jesus, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom." And he replied, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." It was now about noon, and darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m. The sunlight had failed. The curtain of the temple was torn in two. Then Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Father, into your hands I commend my spirit." And having said this, he breathed his last.
Thank you.
when the centurion saw what had taken place, he praised God. "Certainly this man was innocent," he said. And when all the crowds who had gathered there for the spectacle saw what had taken place, they returned home beating their breasts. But all his acquaintances, including the women who had followed him from Galilee, stood at a distance, watching all these things.
Now there was a good and righteous man named Joseph, who, though a member of the council, had not agreed to their plan and action. He came from the Jewish town of Arimathea, and he was waiting expectantly for the kingdom of God. This man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then he took it down, wrapped it in linen cloth, and laid it in a rock-hewn tomb where no one had ever been laid. It was the day of preparation, and the Sabbath was beginning. The women who had come with him from Galilee followed, and they saw the tomb and how his body was found. Then they returned and prepared spices and ointments. On the Sabbath, they rested according to the commandment.